Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hi, my name is Julie Bowen, and I feel, wow. I mean, I've thought about this a lot. I'm a huge fan, and there are no words that haven't been used here. So I'm just going to go with cautiously optimistic.
Wow.
Okay. Ooh, about the President Obama.
That's exactly what President Obama said.
I am such a fan, and I know exactly when people become your friend and when they don't. There's all these clues. There's a lot of clues. There's a lot of stuff that happens. There's coded language.
Right.
Wow.
There's a lot of secret stuff.
Have you Da Vinci coded this podcast?
I have.
Fall is here. Hear the yell. Back to school. Ring the bell. Brand new shoes. Walking blues. Climb the fence. Books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that gonna be friends.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. I do have some friends, but you can always use a few more.
Who are these friends?
The ones that I really have? Let's not get into that. Don't dig too deep.
Okay. I don't know. People who have friends don't go like, oh, I have a lot of friends.
I do.
I have one.
I have them.
Does that give away the fact that I really don't have real friends? The fact that I constantly...
It only does that.
I have friends. You don't think I have friends? I have lots of friends. Sir.
You got very defensive.
Sir, just pay for the unleaded gas and go. But I do have friends. Of course. I just put the nozzle back and...
And I don't use unleaded. I use premium. Well, you didn't order
that.
And
I have friends. Ask them. Okay, sir, who are your friends? I gotta go. That's also the voice I use when I'm not broadcasting. When I'm not on television... or I'm not doing a podcast or some kind of personal appearance. This is how I really talk. Which is always a huge shock. People on the street are always saying, hey, are you Conan O'Brien? That's right. Bingo. You got it right on the nose. Oh. And I go, oh, sorry. Hold on a second. Would this be better for you? Yeah. What was that other voice? Oh, that's how I really talk. Well, gotta go. And then I get on a unicycle. And I have a little horn that goes, wow, wow. Bye-bye, ta-ta. And I drive away. Little window into my life. Some people say
pretty big window.
Comedians don't really open up, but I just did. I just made myself very vulnerable with that story and told you about the real me. And Well, I really brought the tone down. Yeah. I'm sure there are people that were listening to the podcast that when I was doing that bit where I used that voice, turned down their, you know, whether it's their phone or whatever they're listening to this on, their computer.
You couldn't think of anything other
than that. I know you wanted to say radio so bad.
Or the television. I feel like he really wanted to say television.
I did want to say television. And I did want to say radio. I did. But now you've busted me again because that's also true. I don't have friends, and I really do wish that everybody listened to this on a mahogany curved top radio. and then just before I came on, the announcer said, well, that does it for Little Orphan Annie today. And remember, use Crisco when you're doing your deep frying. We'll have a fireside chat with President Franklin Roosevelt in about half an hour. But until then, Conan O'Brien is coming to us from his broadcast booth in Los Angeles, Conan. And that people were huddled around and they were wearing farmer's bib overalls because they had been working in the fields all day, trying to avoid the dust from the Dust Bowl and just hovered around listening to Conan's soothing tones. But no, that's not the world I live in. I live in a world of various downloads.
You couldn't even get that out.
Dynamic ad insertions. I don't even know when they'll say that Conan's a dynamic ad insertion. And I'll say, what? What do you mean? It's an ad that comes on when the podcast airs. The podcast doesn't air. The podcast exists in the cloud. It's meta. It's everywhere all the time, and you access it. What? No, what?
It's not well, what meta. Is it?
Do you know what the... How do I explain what the podcast is to my parents? They don't know. They don't listen to it. My brother Neil won't listen to it because it doesn't happen on television or the radio. And I'll say...
It's hosted on a server and downloaded by a user. How's
well,
that?
It just sounds like porn.
What kind of porn are you watching?
Do you download your porn?
Yeah, I download it.
You can stream it. It's so much better to stream it than download
it. I want to make sure that I can save it for later. So I download it and I have it in, then I have it burned onto cellophane so that I can.
Yeah. Wait, excuse me?
So I can.
Not celluloid?
Oh, well, you know, let me cover quickly for myself. I use cellophane because celluloid has been proven to be the worst way to show film. You know what? I don't know the word for anything. I don't know the word for anything anymore.
I promised you did something recently that I would not let you live down, and I have to bring it up because this will already be out by then. But we are on a Zoom, and the lovely editor Mars, who works on the ads for this show, had her background was from the video game Animal Crossing. You, in all sincerity, went, wow, you have a beautiful living room. And it was like pink wood, like a rabbit lived
there. Yeah. I'm going to admit that Mars, who, by the way, shout out to Mars. She's very cool, does great work for the podcast. And she had this background. In my defense, it was a small box. There were many boxes up. So it's not like I was watching it on a giant screen on this Zoom. But I complimented her on her lovely, creative, kind of cool Etsy-styled room. And then it turned out she had to tell me that no, this is from, what is it from again?
Animal Crossing.
And that...
And by the way, just so you know, this video game is not like a photorealistic video game. It's like kind of like the Smurfs.
No, it really was if someone had put up as their background the living room from the Flintstones. Yes. And I said, oh, I love your rock apartment. I think that's really beautiful. All of you laughed really hard because Conan's an idiot who doesn't understand how things work. And
okay, I guess we're done then.
Also, you never go, oh, I'm sorry, I was wrong. You were like, no, that living room looks very real. And everyone's like, it's a cartoon. And you're like, no. But from my perspective, like you just couldn't.
You go on to gaslight us.
Yes.
I'm always, always hoping that I can get myself out of trouble if I just keep talking. And so that is my modus operandi. And so I just thought if I keep talking, I'll hit upon something that will make you guys go, oh, I guess that kind of makes sense. And then I'm in the clear. And then I get to shit on you guys for even thinking that I was wrong.
It's never happened.
So, well, anyway, I said 45 incorrect things about technology in this improvised opening to the show. And if you can spot them all, you'll win a solid Cherrywood VCR.
Solid.
Is there room to put the video tape in?
It's carved out of a solid chunk of Cherrywood by Nick Offerman. And this VCR will be sent your way through the U.S. mail. All right, let's do this. My guest today is an Emmy award-winning actress who starred as Claire Dunphy for 11 seasons on the hit ABC series Modern Family. Now she has a new podcast, Quitters, available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm very excited. She's with us today. Julie Bowen, welcome.
This podcast, I got to tell you guys got me through the pandemic. I refused to listen for a while, okay? I was a holdout. I was like,
That makes total sense.
Really popular, you know, you don't want to be like, I love Coke. I love Coca-Cola. It's so, so I listened to this throughout the podcast while riding my bike up and down the Hollywood Hills because there was nothing else to do. And I would listen to you guys go, oh, do you think someone's watching this when they're working out? Oh, dear God, I hope not. Yeah. Oh, God, I hope they're not in the gym. And I'm like, I'm on my bike, Conan. phone and can you hear me? Like, I was
we
so...
We could hear you, actually.
Oh, you might.
I don't understand how that's possible, but the technology has gotten so good that we would hear you and we could tell, we could kind of tell this is a steep hill.
She's huffing.
Yeah, she's on the bird street. She's really, she's climbed like 3,000 feet. It's incredible.
Oh, my glutes.
Yeah. I would seriously get so excited, though, because I would go out for the entirety of however long the podcast was, and then some, I would even listen to the ads.
Oh.
Oh, well, yeah. There you go.
Because I get really excited when they change.
Yeah.
I get super excited. And I got so into Sona and Matt. I'm sorry.
No, no, but that's the whole, listen, I can handle that. I think I'm not an egomaniacal monster.
Sona.
I think one of the things that helps the podcast work is that we are a parfait. I might be... there are many levels here. There are at least three levels of creamy goodness.
But they don't mix in a parfait, do they? They kind of, you just...
We don't mix that well.
That's true. That is pretty accurate.
I am a layer of like granola and then...
You're the base. You're the yogurt.
Okay, I'm the yogurt. Yeah. Sure. But a really, but a high quality yogurt.
Like a full fat Greek.
Yeah. You're real full fat Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
You're my big fat Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
What does that make Gourley?
Gourley, I want to say, is this like acai berry.
Something tangy.
Yeah, that's like become very trendy. And people say it's good for you, but it will be found out in a couple of years that it's really not good for you.
Like and cigarettes.
Yeah, exactly. And then it has
oh,
no
you mean cool.
It has no nutrients. Cool. It actually robs nutrients of from your body.
Oh.
But then Sona, you are the whipped topping. I'm going to say that.
Okay.
Not substantial.
Huh.
Everyone loves you.
That's very nice.
You're the part they save for last. And then they take that big dollop of whipped fun at the top of the parfait.
Okay, cool.
So I am the base.
I'll take it.
I provide most of the nutrients and, of course, important fats and all that good dairy protein. Matt, nothing. And then...
Matt, nothing. Matt, a crushed cigarette in the middle of your parfait.
Hey, can I start my own parfait? I want out of this one.
I was listening intently, and I loved it so much that I got hit by a truck.
What?
That's right.
What are you talking about?
So look, you can't, I know this is a visual, medium, right? It's audio. Yeah. But I mean, this and these two fingers.
Oh my God.
All these two fingers, they're all broken. They aren't usually as crone-like like a bird's hands, but these are broken because I was listening and laughing and I got hit by a truck.
Oh my, or your hands were hurt. Any
the rest
other
of me
injuries?
Was fine. I mean, this clearly I'm not well in the head to begin with. So there wasn't much they could do. And I'm the idiot. I know that you famously walk around Los Angeles in sort of like full Lance Armstrong circa 2000 gear, right? Like,
I walk around LA and
don't you clack into? I feel like I've been somewhere and seen you clack, clack, clack in somewhere.
Years ago, I would wear that stuff because I was biking with friends who were super intense bikers,
right.
And they would all do that. And then at some point, I think it's been like 8 years, I said, I don't want to dress like a spaceman to go ride a bike. And so I totally started riding with a different friend, Brad, and he showed me the real way that I prefer, which is I wear shorts, I wear a t-shirt, and I wear like some long sleeve.
But you wear
it looks like I'm a roadie in a band now.
And you wear a brain bucket. You wear a helmet.
Yes. You have to wear a helmet.
Did not wear one when hit by a truck.
Ooh. No, that's bad.
It's bad. So you guys owe me something.
Yeah, Conan.
So be nice because nice because I'm
this
like,
is my fault. Yes,
I'm listening for all the coded clues about whether or not you're going to like me.
Well, we've hung out before, by the way, because you're friends with one of my neighbors, and I remembered going over to your. Mm-hmm. To the neighbor's house once, and you were hanging there, and we had a lovely time hanging out.
And then I ran away because I was terrified.
Terrified of?
You. She said one day, come over. We're just going to hang out. We're having a pool thing. And I said, is Conan going to be there? And she said, yeah. And I go, well, then I can't wear my friends and family bikini. Because, like, I've given birth to twins and another child, and I could not. I hold you in high regard.
That's very nice. I don't understand how this relates to
how why I like you.
Well, no. I mean, I don't understand why
I run away.
Why you are a very attractive person, and that would never enter my mind that you would be worried about. I can't wear this bikini around Conan.
Oh yes. Oh, definitely. Sona, how do you feel about your body after babies?
Not the best. I'm not going to lie. I'm trying to get back there, but it's
the boobs are probably working.
Oh.
We can't. They can't discuss this. Gorley and yes. and Conan cannot even.
Gorley was about to jump in and yeah. start talking.
I was.
But I saved was. You. You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm still open to talking about my breasts, but I don't. I won't force.
Gorley is okay. lactating. He has a child recently. Yeah. You know, he's got a newborn. Gorley.
I know. It's just not as exciting as twins. I'm sorry, Gorley.
No, it's okay. I understand. It's half as exciting.
And it's not your first child, right?
It is my
Oh,
first
it is your
child.
First. Yeah. kind of got swept under the carpet with all the excitement.
Well, I think what happened was because, look, Gorley, that's a hard act to follow. Sona had twins, sure. and then you were like, hey, look at me. We had one
it's
child.
The best I could do.
And I think everyone listening to the podcast was like, boo, why not three? Why not four?
Boo!
You hack.
Yeah, and I think that's terrible that people reacted that way. But Sona, you guys should bond about this because you've had twins. And you've had twins.
I have had twins, but also, Gorley, just I have to say, your contribution, I'm sure, will be grand throughout this child's life. It was nothing on the outset. Like, you didn't have to bear the child. You didn't have to destroy the body.
Completely acknowledge.
You don't
that,
have a Nikki Glaser vagina now.
No, mine's more of a Lisa Lampanelli.
I love that reference to Nikki Glaser, who made me laugh so hard because she was on the Late Night Show once and said that, what did she say? She said...
I remember.
She said her vagina was a hastily packed suitcase.
Yes! Hastily packed suitcase.
And that, I remember thinking to myself, dear God, it's time. And the first time after having twins... taking my clothing off alone and walking towards a mirror and going, oh, no, she's right. It's a shirt tail. It's not okay.
Oh, man.
I didn't want to admit it to myself or others. And then Nikki just said it.
Right.
She just said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there I was.
I know. It's rough. I mean, although I didn't, I had a C-section. So I can't.
Her
really...
children, her babies walked out.
Yeah, they she got did. A, they were yeah, they, crawling out.
They walked out fully clothed.
Did you schedule a C-section?
I did. I had to because of my age and.
Here's the creepy
how
part.
Big they
I
were.
Scheduled a C-section
for her.
For her to work around the podcast schedule. Mm. And the doctor said, "I don't think this is actually the good time. I don't think they're ready." And I was like, "Hey, this is what's happening."
Yeah. Conan had a conversation with my gyno and was like, "We need it to happen now."
Yeah, and then I assisted, which I thought was completely
inappropriate,
and I didn't know what I was doing.
No, all of the doctors involved lost their licenses.
Yeah,
to allow you. Into the OR.
I would love to see that.
I didn't wash up. I didn't wear
washings
gloves.
Washings for weaklings.
I just thought, oh, everyone's being a baby.
Yeah. He left a watch in there.
I left, first of all, and guess what? I want it back. Because that
is
she's
going to have to birth that.
That is a really, that Timex means a lot to me, and I want that fucker back. So I've scheduled another C-section to go back in and get.
And get it out again?
What was, I think when I got it in 1989, a $35 Timex.
Okay.
But now it's an heirloom.
Now we can sell it as an NFT or whatever it's called.
No, we can't.
Non-fungible thing.
Oh, right. It is fungible. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, you joke about making her get a, I hope you joke about making her get a C-section, but
For our listeners, that was me.
And for the legal department.
And for the legal department, that was all in good fun. You know how I like to joke about forcing women
to
have invasive surgery? That's just one of my many riffs.
My now ex-husband heard me mumbling about wanting one more kid after we had had twins. Cause I thought after you have twins, I thought I could do one more with my eyes closed. Right.
Yeah.
It'd be so
sure.
easy. So he immediately scheduled a vasectomy as one does.
Right.
And I went with him to the appointment to get the information. And they gave us some pamphlet that described all the, like, what to expect. And there's all these drawings, like out of this, like a 1960s textbook in
sure.
school.
Yeah.
And there's a woman standing there. First of all, the doctor says, we like to do this on a Thursday afternoon, Friday morning. Have you back at work Monday? And I was like, hell no, we're doing this. I need him up and running on the weekend. We got coverage during the week. Hell no, we're doing this on a Tuesday. I need that fucker
Jesus.
Up and running by Friday.
So you referred to your ex
as that fucker at the time with
at
love.
At the time, right,
love.
Right, right. This could be a clue to what went wrong in the marriage.
But then—
Hey, fucker!
Hey.
Happy Valentine's Day.
There was a lot wrong with me. He's so nice. I don't know why he put up with me. But they give us this pamphlet that says, like, what to expect.
From if you get a vasectomy.
If you get a vasectomy. And there's a woman sort of, like, leaning over with a tray of potato skins as her husband sits in a Barca lounger, all drawn, you know, that sort of with, like, ferns
right,
and, like,
right.
patio doors going out to a pool. And he's watching the game, and he's got some frozen peas on his crotch, and she's serving him potato skins. And I said, we do not fucking need this. And I ripped it up and I threw it out because I was like, you're going to be fine. I gave birth to twins. You're going to be great. Yeah. Up and at him.
So did it. So he had the vasectomy.
Without the benefit of the pamphlet. And he said to me, I pick him up afterwards. He's gray faced. This poor man. Why did he put up with me? He goes, just drive. And I said, what happened in there? He goes, just drive. And he's doubled over. I said, what happened? He goes, should have read the pamphlet. And I said, what did we miss? And he was like, I was supposed to shave. And I was like, oh no. Oh,
oh
no.
Oh, you're supposed to shave down
Apparently,
there.
Apparently.
I didn't know that.
Why?
I was not allowed in the room. That is his story to tell. I realize I've told 99% of him, but that 1% is his.
That's the kind of thing where I would fuck up and go to the barber.
Yeah. Oh,
you know
no.
what? I would just, like a good- I would, yeah, and I would just think like, no, not up here, down here. And it would be like this sort of stereotypical Italian barber who's like, oh, what do you talk about? Come on. It's
you
the
like
same,
a hot towel.
It's the same principle. Yeah, hot towel.
Blade.
And he's got the blade. And other people are coming in and I'm saying, yeah, so anyway, big game this weekend. And I've got my legs in stirrups.
Your legs up.
I don't know I like this.
What if he spins the chair away from the door, though, and you know you're going to get murdered. They're here to murder your balls.
My God. Why did he do it, though? I don't understand why he
got a vasectomy?
No, why the barber shaved your balls.
Scenario. He did it because I'm a good tipper.
He's exactly.
Yeah, and I sat and I waited my turn and I read the magazine like everyone else, and then it was my turn and I took my pants off and he went, what do you do? And he went, well, you know, it's the same principle. This is, first of all, no one's ever come in a guns a-blazing. No.
What?
Like Julie Bowen. Nobody has ever come in.
Are you kidding me? This is like, I was doing like pump up laps in my house. Like, you got this. You got this. Like a 14-year-old boy before the big game. And I was so nervous because
why?
This,
it's us.
No, because I've listened to you way too much.
Right.
I've listened to you. And like I said, I feel like I've got the code. And so I'm losing track of it
I'm
right
not
now.
Sure there is a code. I honestly don't think there is. I think it, but not
know.
An intentional code anyway.
I don't pay attention that much.
I know. We
yeah.
all know.
I
that
zone
is,
out.
That is your MO.
Often.
That
yeah.
has always been your MO, has yeah. you zone out.
Sona, why do you put up with this?
He puts up with a lot too.
But
so.
Are you really as terrible an employee as they make you out to be?
No!
I mean, they make you out to be like somebody who's like starts to make an airline reservation and kind of gets through one half of
I mean,
the
I
ticket.
I have done that.
And yeah. then
you cannot,
the best.
You know what?
You get back.
I'm going to say this in Sona's defense. You probably don't want to to go down this path because, and listen, I say this with love. I am quite, Sona's got a book that's coming out called World's Worst Assistant.
I do. Yeah.
That she wrote that's really good. And I wrote the foreword and I'm quite honest in the foreword, I believe.
Yes.
But one of the things I go out of my way to say is that I love Sona. Uh-huh. We are besties, but some of the shit she has pulled. Oh yeah, no. I mean,
we're pals.
You know what's interesting? My wife has pointed out to me that she's never seen me. The minute Sona had these twins and I started getting pictures, I stop everybody and make them look at pictures of her kids. And she said,
Charlie and Mikey.
Yeah. And she said, you didn't do this with our kids. And you still don't do it with our kids. I'm like, kids, look at these guys.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say he's going to be the godfather to my boys.
Yeah.
To both?
That's how we're very close.
He's going to be. Has he been told this? Am I in on like the big reveal?
I know. I'm telling
you.
Oh, by the way, can you do it? No.
No.
Pretty busy.
No, I haven't done it yet.
No. No, they asked me. I came over and you and Tack asked me to do it. And it was really funny because it was very subtle, but her husband, Tack, who's a very funny guy, he had music playing in the background. And then they said they wanted to talk to me about something. And then he quietly, I don't know if with a remote control or something, but he switched the song and it was just playing kind of quietly in the background. But he started playing as he was asking me, as they were both asking me, the Godfather theme.
I was going to love it.
And so he's talking and it's so, it's.
You come to me.
Yeah, it was so subliminal. It was at this kind of low level. And then I heard like the, but it's subliminal. And then they're like, we want to ask you something. And then it was really funny.
It was cute.
It was very funny. But I think your awe and excitement to be here is misplaced.
Oh,
I
no. Think. You should be flattered.
No, I am very flattered.
Be flattered.
We're flattered.
I've always loved your show and I've always thought you were hilariously funny. But getting this format is the bomb. Like getting to let you just roll and riff is so good.
That's the part that I've, you know, it was such a surprise to me was started to do it. And I had this inkling like, well, wait, this could be kind of fun. And I remember them coming to me and saying, well, there's one thing you're probably going to say no to, which is you have to read ads. And I said, so that's probably going to negate the whole thing for you. And I said, do I get to sort of read them as myself and be kind of honest? And they went, well, yes. And I said, well, that just sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they brought Gourley in, and despite all of the jokes and cruel older brother riffing that I do with him, he's spectacular. I mean, he really makes this thing hum. No, it's true. No, it's true. He really, and so this is where I feel like you and I can really connect, which is so nice.
Are you being serious?
I am.
Is he being genuine?
Yeah, that's like, very
I
genuine.
I feel like,
yeah,
and he's about
freaking
to drop,
me out.
He's about to drop like an ice cold funny bomb on my head.
No.
I love that. That's because I am wearing my friends and family bikini under this.
Nice.
There's... If it went well, I thought maybe, just maybe, I'll go. No, this is. By the way, I wore
love
this for
that
you.
Sweater.
It's a ram's head. No, it's clearly a female reproductive system.
Female, you have a lovely sweater, and you know what's nice? It's kind of a Christmassy sweater, and it's got this design that at first glance you think is just kind of a nice design, and then you realize, oh, that is a quite precise. Rendering of the female reproductive system.
You know, I saw it on Lena Dunham, I think, was wearing it. And I was like, well, if she could, I can rock that.
Yeah.
And I'm a big knitter. I know that's as nerdy as F, but you might like that. I feel like you guys get into old school stuff.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He just fell asleep. Yeah.
No, I
fainted looking at
you. Exactly. It's just that.
It's so much.
I'm
for
staring
you.
At the female reproductive system.
I know. I thought it'd help you get comfortable with it because I am a huge fan. And one of my favorite things that like nearly knocks me off the bike every time, but only really knocked me off the bike once, was when you make the penis talk and the voice and how uncomfortable though you are talking about the lady parts.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. I respect it. I just thought we'd have it here.
I have a very, I am... an uptight person. It's funny. Yeah. I have two sides. I'm quite almost Victorian and uptight in some ways.
Yeah.
But then as a reaction to that, the other side, I have this Jekyll Hyde thing. The other side is not afraid of anything. And I don't understand how these two people can be jammed into one pair.
I think it's when you feel safe. Like, right? If somebody's being sort of restrictive, you can be expansive.
Yes, very good.
And if they're being, if they're so crazy and you don't know where they're going to go, that's me. And you're like, oh, shit. Then you sort of have to take it down.
Now, I was curious about something. You are a middle child, right? Mm-hmm. So there's three sisters?
Three sisters.
And you're the middle.
You talk about your family a lot.
Yeah.
But are you, and I try to imagine them, are they all really tall?
They're pretty tall. I have a sister who's average height, Kate.
Yeah. Is that 6 foot?
She's 6'4". She's 6'4".
Average in your family is.
No. But yeah, I would say for the most part, we are. I think I was one of the tallest until my youngest brother, Justin, overtook me.
Ooh.
Now, I think he was juicing. I think he was on steroids.
He was juicing.
Yeah, he was just trying to, take me down. And then he barely creeped up above me.
Did that bother you?
No, it really didn't. Okay. And you know what's so funny is I have a son and a daughter, but my son had this crazy growth spurt during COVID, but he was quite vocal that he does not want to be my height because he says that's too tall. You're too tall, and it's kind of weird. He keeps saying it, and I'm like, you know, it's a little hurtful. And he's like, look, don't get me wrong, I'm happy to be tall. I just don't want to be that kind of tall. And I said, you know, I'm not in the circus. You know, people aren't coming for thousands of miles to check me out.
But it's not a functional tall.
It isn't. It doesn't.
It's like a decorative tall. Like, I have decorative muscles. Like, I work out a lot, and they're just decorative. They're not doing it. There's no reason.
Well, also, my height is wasted on me. It doesn't,
it's not functional.
For years, people say, like, oh, man, I bet you're great at basketball. And I'd say, well, actually, apparently you need coordination. You need, you know, sort of hand-to-eye skills.
Not just height.
Yeah. You need to care about getting the ball in the basket, which is something that I've always – and whenever I would play basketball, because I used to play it a lot sort of just in the neighborhood when I was growing up, and all I would do was invent characters and babble the whole time and try and make people laugh. But I didn't give a shit if the basket went into the hoop. I didn't care. I just cared about, no, isn't this a funny guy I'm being now? And they'd be like, you know – be great if you helped a little bit.
Yeah.
You could at least just stand there under the basket and be like a big, like a Shaq.
Yeah, but I would not be paying attention. And
you didn't
I'd be doing a bit underneath the basket where I pretend the pole that's holding up, you know, is like another person. And
yeah.
I would have a backstory. I used to play with my brother Luke all the time, and I used to and some other friends, and I would always go on and on about, okay, the guy I am now who's playing stickball, who's up to the plate. Okay, he committed murder a couple of years ago.
Oh,
he attacked a fan. And I had his name was Nikki Fiss. This is true.
Wait, really?
Yeah. I'd say, okay, it's Nikki Fiss is now up at the plate, and they'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Can just get up. You know, take because we play stickball across the street at this park, and I'd be like, no, I'm Nikki Fiss now. Now, Nikki Fiss just spent 2 years in prison because he attacked a fan in the stands and beat him with his bat. He's hated by everyone. He's a cheap shot. He's mostly, but he's a quick infielder. And they'd be like, would you shut up?
This is before every at bat.
Guys,
you need to hear Nikki's backstory.
And everybody hated it.
Man.
Didn't they all have it memorized at a certain point, or did you bring in new elements? You're like,
I brought in different people. Oh, yeah.
Nikki has tuberculosis.
Yeah.
How did they not beat you?
Nikki lost a leg to diabetes, but he's still playing the game.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he's...
Despite his vaccine, Nikki has polio. Poor Nikki. And then you'd run to first, like, to a disabled young man.
It's shocking that I wasn't beaten to death as a child.
Yeah.
Well,
and several people tried, but I made it through.
Good. But that's where the height works in your favor, even if it's not functional. Like, you can't play basketball or volleyball, and by your admission, then maybe it kept you out of fights because they were scared. They're like, what if he unleashed that height at a certain point?
There is, yeah. I am, right? If I ever truly unleashed, because I have, people are surprised. I get mad. I have a temper.
You do have a temper.
I have a temper.
It's not a physical.
No, but it is an Irish, like, I will... that person just screwed me or my friend or one of my family members over, and I will hate them, and I will never forget it.
Like will you just drink at them?
I will drink at them.
I will drink at you. I am Irish. I will drink at you. You know what I'm going to do? You can't even stand
it. I'm going to shorten my life by drinking and thinking about you.
I'm
going to drink. And you're never going to know.
Shorten my life.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll
man.
I'll take at least 15 years off my life expectancy drinking and hating you. And guess what? I'll never tell you so it won't affect you in any way. So fucking chew on that.
Yeah. And when you show up at my funeral and I'm dead and you're not, just think about that.
Yeah. Think about how you never knew how much I hated you. Now, I have a question because, on your character on Modern Family, always day drinking, and it almost put this thought in my head. Claire is such a day drinker that sometimes, and I do this and I should know better, but we all do it. I think of you that way drinking and having a glass of wine all the time, or maybe on your bike.
Squeezed bottle of wine.
Not even. You have a glass of wine filled with Chardonnay and you've jammed it into the little basket of the bike.
Yeah.
But I know that it's called acting, but I swear to God, you were so good in that role that there was part of me that just would assume, oh yeah, yeah, Julie's going to walk in here with like a large glass of very, very oaky Chardonnay.
No, buttery. I mean, a buttery Chardonnay with ice cubes to honor my mother, who never got an expensive wine that she didn't want to put an ice cube in.
Uh-huh.
No, I am actually a very weak-willed, weak drinker. When I drink, it's 3 hours to bedtime from that point. So if I drink at noon, we're done at 3 p.m.
Right.
And if I have a glass of wine with dinner, I'm going to bed at 10. That's just the way it is. I'm not that much fun.
What about, because this is a question I have for you. You might be able to relate to this because Sona is very good at self-medicating.
Yeah.
And it's talked about it. You've been open
about it. It's legal.
It's
legal.
It's legal.
Don't let them weed shame you.
No. I'm not weed shaming you. I am very.
You weed shame me constantly.
There's probably thousands of hours of on tape of me weed shaming you, but I don't think I really do it that much.
Yeah.
But you're a believer in gummies. Have you done that? Have you done
Yes, in any manner?
I
have a therapist whom I really like, and she's a full doctor. So I was trying to squeeze her for some Ambien or something because I never sleep. I'm a terrible sleeper. And she said, no, you really need some marijuana. And I was like, what do you think I am? I come to you for a professional opinion, and this is very unprofessional. And she said, what if I wrote you a prescription for marijuana? Hmm. And I was like, okay. So basically, she wrote me a prescription for a half an edible gummy at bedtime every night. And they will put you down. And then you just have to hope that you're not a middle of the night peer, which I am. Did I mention how many babies I had? That bladder is basically in my pocket. I carry it with me. most of my
internal
organs.
I'm sorry. I thought that was a change purse.
No, it's my bladder.
Because you took it out at one point, and I thought,
I thought I just poured this water right on it.
She's going to give me a coin. And no, I didn't realize that was your bladder.
No, that's my bladder. And so when you have to get in the middle of the night, but what do you do? What do you need to do? Do you like meditate or masturbate or what's the story?
I'm going to answer it right now. For me, masturbation is the form of meditation.
I understand.
I got a special mat.
Oh, come on.
It's not me, is it?
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
A special mat.
That's why I got this job?
No, not you, Matt. The other, yoga mat. You know what they say in meditation? You're supposed to stare into the middle distance with a fixed gaze.
That's
what I'm doing as I'm self-pleasuring.
Oh, yes. Man.
You abuse yourself while staring into the middle distance.
I'm staring into the middle distance.
Lies that comes in, and you've got candles.
I'm on a special mat. Yeah, and it's much faster.
Gross.
It's much faster than normal meditation. Let me just say. It's much quicker.
You get into a real great headspace. And you, I've met Liza, and as everyone says, she is so good. And she is so...
This is my wife, Liza, yes.
Your wife, Liza.
I thought you meant Liza Minnelli for a minute. We were
no,
like,
she's not.
What a name dropper. What a name dropper.
No.
By the way, and it comes out of nowhere. By the way, I've met Liza Minnelli. Where the fuck did that come from?
I've met all famous Lizas. I just thought I'd let you know that right now.
My wife, Liza, yes.
Your wife, Liza, is way above this kind of humor.
To quote the great Sonam Ossessian said to me once, Liza is the only thing I like about you. Which is... Well, she's a rock star, yeah. She's
but
great.
You know, there are those people that
people think there must be something to him mm-hmm. because this a very intelligent, beautiful woman seems to be sticking it out with him. And, you know, if she walked at any point, she could – every court in the land would say you can have everything.
Yeah.
Well, it's California.
We've listened to the podcast.
Say it anyhow.
We've listened to the podcast.
Yeah, you put up with enough.
No, not even just half. You can have all of it.
All of it.
Conan's going to the Ramada Inn.
It was the masturbation mat that did it 100%.
Your Honor, we'd like to play the bit he did when Julie Bohm was on where he has a type of yoga meditation where he masturbates. That's not necessary, Your Honor. We concede the point. And we rule in favor.
Oh, man. Okay.
Sona, is your brain back?
It's getting there.
It's bad.
It is. It is bad. And there's a lot of other stuff, too, that's just like, you know.
No sleep.
No sleep. Yeah. Also, like, a lot of grandparents, which I love, but there's also a lot of voices, a lot of things. It's a
lot.
You
have to put on earmuffs and not listen to all the advice.
Yeah.
Conan, have you given her a lot of, like, child-rearing advice? Or
no.
You were like,
oh,
I
God,
was not
no.
present.
No, I think I was, I wasn't helpful, but I was present. I was not at all helpful, but I was present. I was very good at getting our daughter to eat because I can make kids laugh, and I was really good at saying no one's taking these strained carrots from me and playing those kinds of games. And she would – like my – Liza could not get her to eat for a while. And then I would come in and I'd be like, ah, good, my strained squash. It's just for me. Now I'll just turn this way. And she would shovel – all this food into her mouth. And then I'd turn around and go like, what? What's happened? And I'd have her stuffed animals up in arms. And she would be like, suddenly, I think she gained 60 pounds.
Yeah.
And she was only 2 years old. But I want to make sure I talk to you about, because okay. I think, you know, there are, obviously there's a lot of people out there jumping into the podcast space, as they say. I think you are uniquely equipped to be doing a podcast, and you're doing one called, it's brand new, and it's called Quitters. And it's going to, it premiered
yesterday.
Yesterday.
Well, yeah. This,
we'll say, I'll do it this way. It premiered on February 14th, and I really like the idea behind this. I want you to talk about it.
I don't know how you do this day in and day out, but we started, my partner Chad Sanders and I started a podcast. He's the brains and I'm the talky one. Mm-hmm. But he wrote a book called Black Magic, which is about turning the trauma of being Black in America into something positive. Mm-hmm. Like if you can survive that, you can survive anything. Mm-hmm. And he also wrote a New York Times op-ed piece called I Don't Want Your Love Texts that was really upsetting during all the BLM movement, during all of those protests, that was basically like, do not text me, white people, and tell me, you know, how are you? And I was like, wait, no, I'm not supposed to?
Which is also a little bit in line with, you know, what I was hearing at the time from Black people that I was talking to was that we also don't want to be explaining our situation
yes,
to you.
Yes, yes.
Which I completely understand. Like the last thing, you know, they wanted was for white America to say, now tell us.
Right.
Explain to
now
us.
Now explain.
Yeah, now explain.
But
now
I didn't
now
get
we're
that
ready.
Either.
You know,
I didn't get that either because I was like, don't you want to explain? Haven't you been waiting for this opportunity,
right.
Which is so grandiose? Haven't you just been waiting for me to sit down and pour you a cup of Joe so we can talk about your experience? But Chad and I just started talking and we were looking at doing a TV show or a movie together or something. And he had this idea, for a podcast. And I said, I want to do it. Let's do that. That sounds good. And 40 million people quit their jobs in America in the last, in 2021.
Right.
That's, so there's a lot of people quitting stuff, and it's not necessarily about quitting like, oh, I couldn't hack it. The kind of old school, like, because I had, I had people say to me, like, what about stick-to-itiveness?
Right.
That's my father.
it's also most prospectors in cartoons. What about stick-to-itiveness?
What about fighting your way to the top already? No, that was
good
George.
Lord.
No.
I was going to say.
So this is more about quitting the stuff that you thought really defined you and that was really important. And in order to let it go to do something else, not necessarily just like, I don't want to work and quitting. We don't actually support that. And Chad quit the tech world. And in doing so, actually quit a lot of white culture because he was working at Google and then started writing for television. He was working with Spike Lee. And he's like, why am I dealing with a corporate structure that is based on whiteness that I will never be able to climb that ladder? And I thought that was really interesting. And so we have this podcast. We talk to people about things they're quitting, things they have quit, things they want to quit. And the greatest / worst part of it is Chad instituted these bells that you can ring on one another. Naturally, I never ring the bell. It is constantly being rung on me when I put my foot in my mouth, which happens all the goddamn time. But I'm hoping people can kind of go on this ride with us and go,
sure.
You know, she's educated. We were not going to say smart, but I have some college and,
I have some college.
That's Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
Yeah, that's a good one. I have some college.
I have a little college, but I'm educated and I should know better. And, I think I stand in for a lot of people who stick their foot right squarely in their mouth. And in this whole cancel culture period that we're in, it's kind of hoping that you can learn as you go.
Well, I think that, I mean, first of all, quitting has a negative connotation, which I don't think it deserves because there are many things you should quit.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the line, quitting became, well, if you quit, you gave up. It's like, no, you're quitting something so that you can find something else.
Right.
You're quitting something so that you can help figure out what it is you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And
have you ever quit anything?
Yeah. I mean,
you quit late night.
Yeah, I did. I mean, that's the biggest thing is I quit.
That's kind of huge.
Yeah.
Why did you? Can I ask that? I'm asking. I'm asking.
Sure. because it was 28 years of doing it. And it was in the back of my mind that it would be time to wrap up the night to night of it, which I almost began to feel when I started doing late night way a million years ago, back in 93, there was much less television and there was this real estate and it felt like, no, there has to be something on at 12:30 and you've got to fill this time every night. And I remembered at the time, I think I was on, we hardly got any vacation. We hardly got, you know, any breaks at all because there was this feeling that you've got to keep this thing going. And then after a long period of time, I started to feel like I still want to make funny things or things that I want to try to make funny things or things that I think are funny, but I don't think anybody needs to see me every night. It really did come from that. I do not think this is necessary anymore for me. I don't think America demands it. and
so you don't read the comments.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
and it's just volume. It had been, I think, like something like 4,500 hours of entertaining people. And I thought, I still want to do that. And the podcast gives me the ability to do this quite regularly. But when I make something for television, I'd like to make less of it,
right,
and maybe put a little more time into it. So we'll see. But
was it a hard decision?
You know, I have to say, it really wasn't.
So, did your life change significantly, like before and after doing it? Like when you were like, "I am done." Like, how did your day to day? Is it different?
It's different, but I was surprised at how busy it still is.
It's very busy.
Because there's a lot to do. I mean, we're working on the next thing. But also, the podcast. We do this, and we also do fan episodes once a week.
Oh, I know.
And, yeah.
How about that guy with the tanks?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I
want to buy that tank.
Could not understand. I came in the middle. I know, because I do it listen like it's radio. I appreciate that when you go.
Came
for
in
those
the middle.
You, well, how?
That is something I would do, too.
Yeah.
And I would be like, I wish I had heard the beginning. Well, guess that'll never happen. That's the kind of thing I would say in front of my son, and he'd say, no, you slide it back to the beginning.
Yeah, you can control your destiny as a podcast listener. Yeah.
You can, but when you listen, so in the middle of the night when I can't sleep, I try not to look at a screen.
Right.
But I don't want to get in my crazy wheelie thoughts. So I hit the podcast button on my phone, and I usually hit the sleep timer for like 30 minutes or something. But every now and again, I miss the timer, and it just keeps going and going and going. So it says that I've listened to 17 podcasts that I haven't.
Right.
So I'm going back, and I'm just hitting, and it's in the middle. And I
love that I'm getting into your head while you're
sleeping. I know. But that tank guy, guy was amazing.
He builds tanks.
That
That's
was cool. crazy.
Yeah.
And, that was like your dream, dude, right?
Yeah.
I have to admit, there is part of me that wants to have a tank.
Yeah, I know. We all know.
And I want to blow things up.
Yeah.
So you have to do. So you have to do. You've got fan episodes, and you've got this, and then you've got all the other podcasts that you produce.
Plus, you don't just get a body like mine. Like working out constantly.
Oh.
I'm using various ropes and pulleys. I'm using
what?
You're an old ship.
I'm an old ship. I need rigging. I've got barnacles in my nether regions.
Oh no!
There's a lot of.
Oh no!
We've talked too much about your penis.
Oh, for God's sake!
This whole episode.
And yet the penis hasn't spoken, which is.
Oh no!
The thing is, when my penis talks, it's like he's an introvert.
Yeah.
And he likes to read like the New Yorker.
Yes.
And. and back when I was in my single days, and I'd be like, and he gets, you know, like, I'd be like, come on, we're on a hot date. You gotta, you know, don't wanna. Did you put that? What are you reading? Are you reading The Atlantic?
I'm reading an article about global warming.
Stop it. We gotta get to work here now, you know? This woman's hot. This date's going really well. Your problem. You know, like, just a really.
I have an idea that we should wrap up this podcast episode with the understanding that you'll be listening to this half asleep, Julie, and we can end this episode with some little whispers for you.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Oh,
because
my gosh.
You know you're going to listen to yourself.
Yeah.
And now it's time for you to relax. Julie,
sleep. Oh my, this is so nice.
Sleep.
It's so nice talking to me now too. Is this really happening? What if this actually happens?
You should just go to sleep.
Oh,
oh my God.
I'm awake now. I'm awake.
Why did he come into it?
Conan's penis. That's a waker up.
Nobody wants to talk to your penis.
I had caffeine about 3 hours ago.
Shut up. We're trying to get Julie Bowen to go to sleep.
It brings me so much joy.
You have got to sleep at night, and that is true. Matt, you're right. You are going to, and to all of our listeners right now, I don't care where you're listening. If you're at work, if you're performing surgery, important surgery, life-saving surgery, I want you to go to sleep. If you're listening in the car and you're transporting a bunch of
children to preschool,
sleep.
Just not sleep. Off. Just let it go.
Julie, we have you came in loaded for bear.
Ugh,
and
fantastic. It's terrible. Thank you for saying that.
I love it.
Some people like people being nerdy super fans. I am such a nerdy super fan.
Well, that's sweet.
I have favorite episodes.
Well, that no, I
have
I mean,
favorite bits, and to be here is like it's a full armpit explosion of sweat.
Jesus. Wow.
I just love you, and you're really good at this.
Wow,
and you're really
you.
You're like you are kind of the Godfather. If we could get some Godfather music,
we don't have to pay for this. The licensing that Coppola will hit us for, it costs so much.
But you are the. You made this weird thing that people do in their basements and in their closets incredibly cool and interesting. And I've actually learned a lot and you've inspired me and inspired me to do my own podcast. But everybody comes on here and I'm always like, I want to be the person that that he says, we should get a meal.
Ooh.
Look, I'm pretty busy.
Oh, no.
And I know you just put yourself in a very vulnerable position.
I really did.
Jeez.
Are you kidding? I mean, first of all, my wife is also going to be jealous if she's not part of it. Because
I
as
won't
you know,
wear
she is-
inflammatory sweaters.
No, you
That's
should.
Not inflammatory.
No, you
no,
absolutely.
It's not inflammatory.
Should.
I just.
It's the female reproductive system. Yeah. It's the reason we're all here, for Christ's
well,
sake.
Well, I thought if nothing else, because you know, for talk show segments, you have to have stories and stories and stories. And I was driving here or getting dressed, and I said, I've got nothing. There's no pre-interview. There's nothing. All I know is these people talking, and I knew I loved your penis voice, and I knew that you didn't necessarily have a vagina voice or a
right.
uterus
I
voice.
Do not.
He's scared of. It
usually makes you cringe.
He can't hear the word uterus. He can't hear the word ovary. I don't.
It would sound like Sauron from Lord of the Rings. You know?
Why are you here?
Oh, gee, I knew this wasn't going to work out.
You have no right.
Wow,
so
you're dancing
happy.
Around.
Oh my God. In my wildest dreams, I didn't think I would actually hear this.
Oh my God.
Be gone.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I'll just take this little ring and go.
You'll take nothing.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
oh
there we go.
God.
There it is. That's the vagina voice.
Oh, wow.
The voice of Sauron.
I can seriously
most evil
die
force
happy.
In the universe. All right. Well, Julie, you got to come back because
I will.
This was,
please. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. This you got to come back because this was too much fun. And congrats on your new venture. Quitters, which is available wherever you get your podcast.
Wherever you get your podcast. Conan, thank you so much.
Julie,
I'm sorry I ruined it.
You didn't ruin anything. You were great. Quitters, check it out. And Julie, please come back soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, Conan, you popped up on Saturday Night Live very recently and very specially.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
Specially.
Yeah, specially. I don't know if that's the right way. It was a very special episode of Saturday Night Live where they... they addressed eating disorders, and it started out by saying, this is a very special Saturday Night Live tonight.
Especially? What am I thinking?
I don't know what you were thinking, but... Yeah, it was really nice.
It was special.
I don't know when people will be hearing this, but as I speak, it was just the other day. And what happened was John Mulaney, who I'm a huge fan of, and we've become pals over the years, he basically told me that he was going to be hosting Saturday Night Live for the fifth time and that I was invited to come by and see the show. And I had not been back to 30 Rockefeller Center, I don't pretty much since I departed in 2009 to come out west. So I hadn't been back there, and it felt like this is a nice way to go back. The plan was just for me to sit in the audience and get to see some of the people that I've or hang around backstage and watch the show, and then. And reconnect with people like Jim Downey, who's the head was the head writer at Saturday Night Live, who hired me, who's one of the icons, one of the great comedy writers of all time. He and I have reconnected recently, so I was going to see him, and we were going to see the show together and watch John do his thing. And then John mentioned to me, he called me up, I think it was on Thursday or something, and said, hey, we're writing a sketch. Would you want to be in it? Mm-hmm. And I thought, if I get paid, no, I didn't. I said, I said, sure. And it was, what was nice about it was I always like whenever I can close a circle or in this sort of cosmic way, which is a sketch called Five Timers Club. And, it's basically anytime someone's hosted the show their fifth time, they're welcomed into the club. Long time ago, I think this was 1989, maybe, or 1990, when I was a writer at SNL, they did the sketch for the first time. Someone thought of it, and they were welcoming Tom Hanks into the Five Timers Club. And I'm just a writer at the show, a skinny kid in his 20s. I remember Jim Downey, I think, said, well, there should be a doorman who opens people up, who opens the door and lets people into the club. Conan, why don't you do that? And so there's this footage you can probably see online of the very first Five Timers sketch from whatever it is, 90 or, you know.
I saw that. And was that the first time you were on camera?
No, I had done other things, but this was a big one just because Steve Martin's in the sketch and Elliot Gould's in the sketch and Paul Simon's in the sketch. And my job was just to open the door, and I think Tom Hanks unnecessarily says a fake name for me. He says, oh, hello, Sean. Like, there was no reason for me to have a name, but I think he just said, oh, hello, Sean. And it's like, and then I put a smoking jacket on him. I remember this having a little trouble with the smoking jacket for a second and having a heart attack.
But, something probably nobody else remembered.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
I remember seeing this live.
Yeah.
I watched that.
And did you look at the guy who was opening the door who worked at the Five Timers Club named Sean and think, that guy looks like he's got what it takes?
No, I thought that guy will someday be the bane of my existence.
A lot of people thought that, and they were right. So anyway, I did that, and it was kind of just a nice moment. You know, of all the moments in my life, that was just a nice little moment that I had. So then John Mulaney very kindly said, oh, it'd be kind of cool if Conan was in this five-timer sketch, and came by, and he gave as the reason when they asked me, what are you doing here? I said, I'm here to sign up for Peacock.
that was a great, and was I, a great line.
But, and then, you know, so John wrote this nice thing, and I thought, well, this is, okay, this will be fun. And then I come back to NBC, and I hadn't been there in a long time. And it was just lovely because all these cameramen. I mean, Blay, you can jump in here because Aaron Blair, you worked with me at Saturday, and not at Saturday Night Live. You worked with me at Late Night, which was on the ninth.
Yep.
We were on the ninth floor, and SNL was on the eighth floor, and their offices are on the 17th floor. I'm just going to start naming.
Oh yeah,
what's
keep
on.
Telling us. Yeah,
then there's an an insurance company on the fifth floor.
Yeah, and you walk in from the front door.
Our studio, of course, on the sixth floor. No, anyway, it's floors with Conan O'Brien.
Jesus.
Now on the 43rd floor, it's interesting. There's a Bitcoin company now, but anyway, you work there, Blay, and so there are all these people that have worked at 30 Rock forever, and so you go there. And people are just coming off of, it's nice. Have you ever seen the movie Sunset Boulevard? There's a scene where Nora Desmond, the aging silent film star, goes back to the studio. And she goes back to the film studio, and she hasn't been there in a long time. And she walks in, and all these people up in the cameras and holding the lights go, Nora, Nora, you know, it's me. And she goes, oh, Giuseppe, you know. And then another guy will go like, Ms. Desmond, you know, good to see you. And she go, oh, it's, you know, it's Tommy. Hello there, Tommy. That's how it felt a little bit. I was a very old silent film star who went back. But it was really very meaningful and sweet because some of the people that worked on my late night show are there. Tina Ryan, who did, you know, worked in wardrobe. She came and found me and started. She was crying, and I practically started crying, although I didn't because I don't have I don't have a soul.
Right.
But we had a really nice connection, and so many people came out and said hi, and I absolutely loved it. And then. To boot, I don't take it for granted, but anytime I get to hang out, because you really do have to hang out there for a while. If you're doing it, you have to do it at Dress, you have to do it at Air. So who am I hanging out with? Tina Fey, Steve Martin, you know, Candace Bergen was in the sketch, and Elliot Gould, and, you know, Paul Rudd, who, you know, it's one of those things where you'd love to be able to say, you know, the way you think Paul Rudd is a nice guy, well, let me tell you, and then there is not a nicer human being in the world than Paul Rudd. And he's really funny, obviously, and great. So I was just having the time of my life hanging out with
and
these guys.
You mentioned the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was, I know. That was really.
Disparagingly.
Disparagingly,
yeah. Yeah. Well, they had this great setup line, which was, you know, I basically say, John Mulaney, this is a very special thing. Why I host, you know, I was on TV for whatever, 30 years. And I can, you know, I think I'm bragging or somewhat about how I've been on TV for 30 years. And then he says, or for decades. And then he says, well, what do you do now? And I just went, I have a podcast. and getting to just hang out with such, you know, I mean, these are, it's funny because people assume that because I've been doing this a long time that I wouldn't get fazed by people. But I'm always going to be a little intimidated by a Steve Martin and frankly, also a Tina Fey. I think she's absolutely brilliant. And every time I'm around Tina, I'm like, I'm on my best behavior because I, you know, she's one of the best of all time. And I just, so anyway, that was all great. But what was really funny is I make that kind of joke about, yeah, I'm just doing a podcast, big deal, haha. And the crowd really laughs. And then I'm walking, when the sketch is over and the band's playing, you have to walk through the crowd to get back to your dressing room. And people in the crowd started shouting, Katakai! Katakai! Oh! And I was turning around. And it was so funny because I've just been like, yeah, I just have a podcast. And then I'm walking through that crowd and those chairs are on the floor and a guy goes, Katakai! And then someone else goes, Katakai! And then someone else is like, has God made her? And I'm like, man!
Oh my God!
Yeah, this is great. And then so that was, I mean, and then I, of course, I went to the after party and talked to Lorne Michaels for a really long time, which was, he's the reason anybody knows me at all. He plucked me from pretty much complete obscurity and put me in this impossible position. So that was anytime I get to cross paths with him and sit there and have a drink and talk is really a big deal for me. And also getting to talk to that cast and those writers, they're super talented. And so it just was kind of emotional, you know, to get to go back and have that connection and also just see what good hands that show is in. I mean, they're very, very, man, they're talented writers and incredibly talented performers. So anyway, that was a treat.
Very cool.
Now let's get back to what floor, what things happen on.
No.
Now, as I said,
NBC News, third floor.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people don't know, but the legal counsel for Nike shoes, now that is on the 55th floor, but it's on the north side, not the south.
When we redid the offices and half of our offices moved to 8, half of our offices were shared with the tax department.
Guess what? If I've ever heard of a chunk that can get cut, it's...
This is
a very specially episode.
I love how I got super... about as emotional as I can get about going back to Saturday Night Live and saying such sweet things and having a real moment. And then immediately we veer into, hey, remember when we shared offices with the tax department? Anyway, a big, huge thank you to everyone at SNL and John Mulaney especially, but everyone else who made me feel so welcome and they were so sweet. And so, thank you all.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. With Conan O'Brien, Sona Movsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Joanna Solitaroff, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Cody Fisher at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. Engineering by Will Beckton. Additional production support by Mars Melnick. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.